It doesn't matter where they have come from, whatever armed nations they have, if they got what belongs to me, I am going after them. The victories of the battles you will ever fight in life don't depend on any human being. They depend on what God has put within you. You are a Christian, there is no reason you should suffer any loss in life. God has deposited enough power and ability inside you. You will always win every battle. Last month, we began the series Recovering What God Has Given to You. And we understand that whatever God has given to you, He needs you to take possession of it. Even if you didn't have that thing in your hand before, but if the Word of God shows to you that that thing is yours, God needs you to go and get that thing and possess it. And we saw, as we have been looking through the series, that God also equipped you. He put power and all that is necessary for you to recover and to have what God wants you to have inside you. God didn't do all this for fun. He did it for some eternal values. There are some things God planned to accomplish with your life that no human being has understood the beginning of it, nor the end of it. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? God's plan for your life is beyond all human imaginations. As I continue on this series, which I intend to finish today, I will be showing you the purposes of the things that go on in your life. The issues of life are actually part of God's plan to ensure the accomplishment of His plan for your life. And until you understand the full purpose of God's plan for your life, you may not actually fulfill it. So God ensures that by the events and circumstances of your life, He begins to train your mind so that you will understand the kind of life that He has given you to live. God didn't create you an ordinary human being. He created you a spirit being, exactly like Himself. There is not a single difference between you and who God is. The Bible shows to us that we are created in the image of God, which means if God stands here and you stand next to Him, the angels could not tell the difference. That is exactly how God made you. And He didn't just make you to look like Him. He also built you to function like Him. In other words, you are to exercise the characteristics and the attributes of God Himself. Now, when Jesus walked the face of this earth, He discovered who He is. And as we saw last week in the scriptures in Philippians chapter 2, Jesus realized that He is God. And He didn't make a mistake to function like man. He functioned as God. That is what He expects you and I to come to. The Bible said in Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." God wants you to have the kind of mind that Jesus had. He understood who He was and He functioned as He is. God wants you and I to know who we are and to function as we are. Listen, you are not an ordinary man. You are a spirit being. You are not an ordinary spirit. You are a super spirit. And I have begun to show to you in previous teachings that Jesus is not the only Christ. We saw it from the scriptures in one of my previous teachings that Jesus was the Christ. But after His resurrection, He brought forth other children like Himself unto God. And that is you and I. We were born after the same
pattern as Jesus is. When you get born again, you are recreated in the same image of Jesus Christ unto God. You are not just an ordinary person. Let's look 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He says, when a person is in Christ, when a person is born again, he is not an ordinary person. All things about his life is passed away. The ordinary human being that his parents gave birth to is passed away. The person that is born again is brand new before God in the realm of the spirit. The outward person might still look the same. You could still see the same skin you saw before. If he had beard, you still see the same beard. If he had long hair, you still see the same long hair. But the spirit inside him is a different spirit. He has been implanted with the spirit of God himself. Brothers and sisters, that is the word of God. Your feelings can lie to you. The word of God cannot lie. Jesus told us that he is from above. Why is he from above? Because he understood that he is not an ordinary spirit. He was a spirit that was birthed from God. When you become born again, you are not an ordinary spirit. You are a spirit that has been born from above. When you are born from above, the previous spirit is dead. The new spirit is the new spirit that came from God. It does not matter whether you still feel like you used to feel. That is your body feeling. The spirit's feeling is different. The new spirit inside you is the spirit of God. You need to understand and begin to function as such. Brothers and sisters, God is waiting for you and I to wake up to the reality of what he has made us to be, because he needs you and I for the fulfillment of his eternal purpose. The Bible tells us that we are the righteousness of God. Without you, without me, the righteousness of God is not complete. God cannot afford to be seen by the eternal creation as an incomplete God. It's you, it's me, that we fulfill the fullness of God. The Bible said so. He says, we, the church, we are the fullness of Jesus Christ. And if Jesus is God, we are the fullness. We are the completion of whom God is. So, brothers and sisters, God is waiting for you. God is waiting for me for the accomplishment of his eternal dream. If you are not realized, God is not realized. If you are not fulfilled, God is not fulfilled. God is waiting for you. God is waiting for me. And as we begin to realize whom we are, we start to demonstrate the characteristics of God that God has embedded in our spirit right from the creation. We start to demonstrate the characteristics of God, because the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Brothers and sisters, the whole creation of God is waiting for you, is waiting for me to begin to manifest the power and the glory of God. There are three things God wants to do in your life and with your life. As I began to teach earlier on in this series, I explained to you one of the purpose God allowed those issues of your life is because he wants to train you to maturity. God does not just want to train you to maturity for maturity's sake. And I'm going to show you in a short moment why he's training you for maturity. There's a second reason God allows the issues in your life. And that is to demonstrate his glory. In John chapter 2, verse 10, and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine unto now. Now Jesus turned water into wine, and the new wine was sweeter than the original one that everybody drank before. I mean, why this water was dirty water that was turned into wine. Next verse, 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now listen, the reason God wants to manifest his glory through your life
is because he wants to reveal who he really is to the whole creation. You heard my testimony, how sickly I was when I was growing up. And then when I heard the man of God, Reverend Tom, preach the message on the divine health that God has imparted into my spirit, right from that time, I began to demonstrate divine health. And everybody around me realized that God has power to keep somebody alive and healthy every day of his life, and he never needs a single paracetamol again for the rest of his life. That is the glory of God demonstrated. In Judges chapter 5, you see how the kingdom of Israel defeated an enemy of over several years when there apparently was no ability in Israel to do it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you also see how three nations came against Judah, and the little Judah defeated them without lifting a single weapon against them, just singing songs. When Joshua took Israel across the Jordan, in chapter 4, chapter 6, chapter 8, we saw how they went against Jericho. Jericho was fenced round, and that wall could not be penetrated by anything, not by any ammunition, not by any soldier. And now they went round the wall for 7 days. On the seventh day, they went round the wall 7 times. Now, they shouted on the seventh day after 7 times of going around the wall when they should be very tired. But the shouting of tired men brought down the huge wall, and the wall sank into the ground and they overtook the land. How could that happen? That was the demonstration of the glory of God. I want you to understand, as I proceed to my next point, that the issues you have in your life, brothers and sisters, you need the right understanding so that you can handle them like bread and use them to demonstrate the glory of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that you can use them to demonstrate the glory of God. Listen. Not one issue of your life, not one challenge of your life should be let to go free without being handled and be used to demonstrate God's glory. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? Don't let any of them go free. Go after the challenges of your life. Seize them and use them to demonstrate the glory of God. What you need is the right understanding. And as you listen to God's word, it will produce in you what the word talks about. As you hear God's word talking about the power and ability of God at work in you, it will produce in you the ability to begin to demonstrate the characters that God has put in you. I told you there are three things God seeks to do with your life through the challenges that you encounter. I have just briefly touched on two of them. The third one is the execution of judgment. This third one is actually going to happen right from this world in which we live in. And it's going to end when we enter into a new phase of God's plan for us. Psalms chapter 149, verse 9. Now, somewhere in this series, I explained to you that the kingdom of darkness has been judged. We saw that in the book of Isaiah. How the Bible shows us that Satan has been brought down to the pit. He has been brought down to hell, to the size of the pit. He says, thou shalt be brought down, which means it is a judgment that has been passed on him. It was yet to be executed. He didn't say thou hast. He says shall. Which means the kingdom of darkness has been judged. And in that judgment, which we saw in Isaiah, he says, Satan and his cohorts and all the forces of darkness will be narrowly looked down on. They will be disdained. You know how you see some little rubbish in your house? You say, what did this one come to do here? You kick it outside. And then you close your door. That's how God has decided that Satan should be treated.
And in that verse, he said, this honor has God given to the saints to execute that judgment that has been written. That judgment has been written against the kingdom of darkness. He says, we are the one to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints praised the Lord. That honor to execute, to bring Satan to such a small nonentity, has been reserved for you, has been reserved for me. Father, I thank you. Go back to verse 7 of this chapter. Psalms 149, verse 7. He said, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. Who is he talking about? To execute vengeance upon the heathen. You know what the heathens are? The nations, the Gentile nations. To execute judgment upon the Gentiles and punishment upon these people that do not know God. Who are to execute this judgment? Let's go to verse 2 of this same chapter. He said, let Israel rejoice in him. Now you understand that he's talking about Israel. He said, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Now, he was talking about the physical Israel. If you understand, like I have said before, the physical Israel typifies the spiritual Israel, which is the church. Are you with me? Now, everything God did with the physical Israel was a picture of what he plans to do with the spiritual Israel. When he asked Moses to build a tabernacle of worship in the wilderness, he said, ensure that you build this tabernacle after the pattern that I have shown you on the mountains. Which means there was a spiritual tabernacle that God showed to Moses. And he said, build the physical one after the spiritual one. When God called Abraham, he brought him to the land of Cana. He dwelt in the land of Cana with the biological descendants, Isaac, Jacob, and onwards. He dwelt in that land even as strangers. He sojourned in that land. The Bible said he had every opportunity to return to the land from which he came, but he did not. Why was he in this land that he didn't even have any space enough to put his foot on? He dwelt in that land as strangers, living in tents. The Bible said in Hebrews 11, he said it's because he was looking forward to a city whose maker and builder is God. He was already in Cana, which means he understood that the city God was talking about to reveal to him was not the physical Cana, it was a spiritual Cana. Now, when God spoke to Abraham, he said, I will bless you and I will bless your seed. And through you and your seed shall the nations of the earth be blessed. I took time out before this series in another series to explain the two dimensions of the blessing upon Abraham. The first dimension was on Abraham himself. And that blessing went on to his biological descendants. But the second blessing was not on the physical Abraham himself. It was on the seed that Abraham was carrying. And we saw in Galatians chapter 3 verse 16 that that seed of Abraham that God was referring to was not the biological children of Abraham, but was on a seed, a singular seed. And that seed is Christ. And in verse 29, he says, if ye be Christ, then are you the seed, that seed of Abraham that God was talking about and blessing when he was blessing Abraham. Hey, I am that seed that was inside Abraham that God was blessing when he was blessing Abraham. And he said to Abraham, he said, your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. So whenever God pronounced blessing upon the seed of Abraham, the physical seed of Abraham, the physical descendant of Abraham, enjoyed that blessing in the physical realm. And then the spiritual seed of Abraham, which is you and I, also enjoy the same blessing in the spirit realm. So As it were, for the physical seed of Abraham, they dominated their world. As small as they were, they dominated everywhere. Just 1948, the whole Arab world thought to wipe out Israel, exterminate Israel. And as little and young as they were, they subdued the whole Arab world in one couple of days with one turn. How did that happen? Go and study Judges chapter 5. There are stars, angels fighting from above. Those things are not ordinary. There is a word that God has released. That word is still happening in the spirit realm. And brothers and sisters, when Israel realized who they were, the young man David in Samuel chapter 17, when he came across Goliath, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He said, can't anybody bring him down? Are you following what he's talking about? Because he has a mentality. If you are not on God's side, you don't have a foundation. Brothers and sisters, God was not so much interested in all those things that happened in those days. He was just interested in creating a pattern because of the spiritual Israel, because of the church, the Christians, that he was going to raise up the seed of Abraham. And he had a purpose for bringing up the seed of Abraham. God is waiting for you and me, brothers and sisters, to receive that same mentality that David had. That we can stand up and look at Satan to the eye, eyeball to eyeball, and tell him, I will take your head off your shoulder, and I will give the carcasses of the forces of darkness to the birds of the air. The Bible says that through you and me, God seeks to demonstrate to principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. God's manifold wisdom. He wants to demonstrate it to principalities and powers through you and through me. Let's get back to this chapter. He says, let Israel rejoice in him that made him. He didn't say he that created him. God created everybody. But he made Israel to become a unique nation before him upon the face of the earth. He says, let Israel rejoice. Let children of Zion be joyful in their king. Not in King David, but in their king. Let's go next verse. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him in timbre. Verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. Hallelujah. Caleb said to the whole camp of Israel, he says, if the Lord delights in us, if the Lord takes pleasure in us, he said, though they be giants, they become bread for us. They understood something, that God has pleasure in them. Brothers and sisters, God delights in the church. We are God's delight. He says, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. He will beautify the church with salvation. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Verse 6. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Now, verse 7. To execute vengeance upon the heathen, and punishment upon the people. Now, let me give you an insight into what Psalms 149 is saying. When God picked Israel, sought to use Israel to show to the whole world that he is God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He sought to use Israel to demonstrate, not by himself coming out to demonstrate, he just picked Israel and made them his glory. And through Israel to demonstrate to the whole world that he is God. Let me quickly show you something. Exodus chapter 10. Let's look at it from verse 1. Now, Moses was in the land of Egypt trying to take the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart. You are familiar with the story of what happened when Israel was being taken out of Egypt. Plagues after plagues, but Pharaoh won't let them go. God said, I am the one who hardened his heart. Are you following what is going on here? Because God has something he wants to prove. There was a plan that has to be fulfilled. He was about to demonstrate something. There has to be a system out to do this. Are you following this? He says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. The word show is translated from a Hebrew word which also means that I might reveal. Which means there was something about God in the spirit realm that God was seeking how he might reveal it into the word realm. Are you following what I'm talking about? The ordinary people of the world didn't understand certain things about God. Read the whole Bible before these things began to happen. They didn't see such mighty signs. There was no such demonstration of the power of the supreme being. The people didn't really understand who God is and how he could act on behalf of his people. They didn't understand that. Now he said, and the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart. He said to him, go, I have hardened his heart. You would expect that he would say, go, I have softened his heart. He said, no, I have hardened his heart. Why? Because there is something I want to reveal here. It is not just about Israel living to the promised land. If God didn't have anything to reveal, he will make Pharaoh and all his soldiers and servants and everybody that is an Egyptian to sleep and not wake up for 3 days. God did things more than that before. He killed the whole armies of the Amorites, and the people of Israel didn't have to fight one fight. Are you following what I'm talking about? So he could make the whole of Egypt sleep continuously and not wake up until 1 week is over. Isn't that possible? But then nothing will be revealed. They will just wake up and say, ah, why did we sleep this long? But God wants to reveal something. He wants to reveal something. So what did he do? He hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He says, I have hardened his heart, the heart of his servant, that I might reveal this, my signs before him. What are signs? Signs are pointers to the realities of things. God was seeking to reveal that he was God over the universe. That was what he used the signs to reveal to them. Next verse. And that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy sons and thy sons' sons what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know that I am the Lord. Previously, the people didn't really know. They thought every nation has its own God. But now God was seeking to demonstrate that there are no gods. There is only one God. Oh, yeah. Brothers and sisters, just like that happened in the physical realm, God is raising you and me to demonstrate a similar thing in the spirit realm. Are you hearing what I'm telling you about? Now, the things of the physical earth that you are seeing, God is using them to train us for the supernatural feat that is going to happen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'll give you an insight into what I might be teaching on Wednesday. Number one thing that God is doing with your life now is that he's training you for reigning. Listen, we are the ones that we reign with Christ in eternity. And God is not going to bring a nobody to come and be reigning. It doesn't work that way. He's not going to bring somebody that has no experience to come and reign. It doesn't work that way. He tried it with Satan, with Lucifer before. It didn't work. Lucifer just woke up into beauty and glory. He was not trained. He was not tested. So he failed woefully. But with Jesus, God didn't do it that way. He didn't try it that way. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8. Can we have that quickly? The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience. In Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5, he says, let this might be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, in that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But when he found himself in the form of man, he humbled himself, even to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God had highly exalted him and had given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, both in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, not only in this world, but in the ages to come. Are you following what I'm talking about? So Jesus received the crown of eternal glory, not just by chance, but after he humbled himself. How did he learn this humility? He said, though
ye were a son. He knew that he was son. You know, when you are a son, you have certain privileges. But Jesus didn't begin to exercise privileges. He learned humility. He said, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus went through things. So it's the same way God is training you and me. Because we are going to reign in the same class as Jesus Christ. In eternity, in the realms over all the eternal creation of God. Are you following what I'm talking about? He says he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So listen, brothers and sisters, God is training you for reigning. You are going to reign, and God wants you to begin to reign now, to take charge of these little things that concerns you, because you are going to reign over principalities and powers. You are going to reign over demons and witches and witchcraft. You are going to reign over Satan himself, until you look at Satan down on the ground and say, is this you? You mark Satan on the head. Are you following what I'm talking about? That is what God is training us for. And it's not just going to be for a while. It's going to be for eternity. You are not an ordinary person. There is a plan for your life. There is a great plan for your life. God has a great future for you.